My first real job was as a mathematics teacher in Africa. Right out of college, a couple of years after Zimbabwe's independence from Britain in 1980, I went to help comrade Robert Mugabe build his new socialist society. And what better way to assist than through public education? During my interview with the Minister of Education at the Zimbabwe High Commission in London, I asked to be assigned to a rural school so that I could really help the poor. He smiled, clearly understanding my motivation, I thought. To my chagrin, I found myself posted to Queen Elizabeth High School, an all-girls school right in the center of Harare, the capital. Queen Elizabeth had originally been a whites-only elite institution, although when I joined, it had a mixture of races, African, Asian, and European, as they were classified. This government wouldn't waste you in the rural areas, the white headmistress laughed when I arrived, meaning to compliment me on my mathematics degree. She explained that many daughters of politicians from the ruling party, ZANU-PF, were enrolled in her school, and of course they would look after themselves first. I dismissed her cynicism, putting it down to racism and the incongruence of my assignment to administrative error. I also found my niche in the school. It seemed all the children trusted me, so I was able to help them get along with one another. But I spent as much of my spare time as possible in the rural, communal lands, experiencing the realities of life there firsthand. In the process, I developed links between an impoverished rural public school and my own, bringing my privileged urban pupils there to help them appreciate all that Mugabe was doing for the povo, the ordinary people. 2 years later, I managed to engineer an assignment to a public school in the Eastern Highlands. I lived and worked in a small school set on a plateau beneath the breathtakingly beautiful Manyao Mountains, from where the calls of baboons echoed as dusk fell, and women returned from the river carrying buckets of water on their heads. Leopards apparently still hunted at night on the rugged mountain slopes. I defended Mugabe's regime to its critics, for at least it was engaged in bringing education to the masses, benefiting them in ways denied before independence. Before long, once richer urban people properly paid all their taxes and the international community coughed up a decent amount of aid, it would be able to make education free for all. That would be truly cause for celebration. After all, everyone knows that the world's poor desperately need help if every child is to be educated. Help must come from their governments, which must spend billions of dollars more on building and equipping public schools and training and supporting public school teachers so that all children can receive a free primary school education. But governments in developing countries cannot succeed on their own. Everyone knows that they too need help. Only when rich Western governments spend much more on aid can every child be saved from ignorance and illiteracy. That's the message we hear every day from the international aid agencies and our governments, and from pop stars and other celebrities. As a young man, I believed this accepted wisdom. But over the past few years, I've been on a journey that has made me doubt everything about it. It's a journey that started in the slums of Hyderabad, India, and has taken me to battle-scarred townships in Somaliland, to shanty towns built on stilts above the Lagos lagoons in Nigeria, to India again, to slums and villages across the country, to fishing villages the length of the Ghanaian shoreline, to the tin and cardboard huts of Africa's largest slums in Kenya, to remote rural villages in the poorest provinces of northwestern China, and back to Zimbabwe, to its soon-to-be-bulldozed shanty towns. It's a journey that has opened my eyes.